Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given it to us, that through it you speak to us and you tell us of the salvation that we can have in Christ. And as we consider it now, that you'll give us our ears to hear what you are saying, and that you would grow us to be a people with faith in Jesus who are fully mature in Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Until this week, there was a water plant that sat on my desk. It lived a lot longer than I expected it to. And when it was live, it thrived. The vines grew. The leaves were abundant and green. I could see that it was growing. If you were looking at it, you would have been able to see over time that it was growing. And I could have measured the growth if I wanted to. I could have counted the leaves, counted the vines. Often in the Bible, the life of faith, the life of following Jesus, is compared to a growing tree, a flourishing tree, a tree bearing fruit. Not a stagnant tree or a dead tree, but a live one, a living one. And so what we're going to think about today is, what does growth in the Christian life look like? And some parents, they like to mark the growth of their children with a pencil line on the door, maybe once a year, mark the measurements. Well, what are the pencil marks in the Christian life? What marks growth? You know, teachers this week will be sitting through professional development. Because there's an expectation that, you know, teachers and pretty much anyone who works these days will grow and change and adapt. What does Christian development and growth look like? Well, as I said earlier, the verse that we're going to be looking at today is the one that our church's mission statement is based off. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, "Him we proclaim, teaching and admonishing everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ." And so we're going to look at why. Why proclaim Christ? How to proclaim Christ? And the last thing we'll look at is the goal of proclaiming Christ. So why do we proclaim Christ? When we proclaim, we're declaring, we're speaking, we're putting a message out there for people to hear. The barefoot investor, he proclaims his investment strategies. The government proclaims their plan for the nation. Authors proclaim their vision for the world or their take on things. Christians proclaim Christ. Why proclaim Christ? Well, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, I think, tells us in no uncertain terms. Jesus Christ, the Son, is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn over all creation. In him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible or invisible, thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things. In him all things hold together. He's the firstborn from among the dead, so that he might have the supremacy. And God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Jesus is God in the flesh. And he made us. There's a catchy kids song by an artist called Shai Lin. And the song has the little chorus that says, "Though we all have a different story, God made me and you. God made me and you. For our joy and for his glory, God made me and you." Christ is our creator. God made us through Christ for him, and he is God. And if this is all we had, if this was all the knowledge that we had, Jesus would be worth proclaiming. But that's not all the knowledge that we have. Jesus also did something. He reconciled us. Humans have a big problem, and it's outlined there in verse 21 of Colossians chapter 1. "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." Paul writes to the Colossians, who would have only recently become Christians, and he writes, "You were alienated from God." That means separated from him. "You are enemies of God." Now, the Colossians, they probably would not have thought this way about themselves. They actually had a form of spirituality. They worshipped special days and angels and certain kinds of knowledge. But in doing that, they were enemies of God because they were not seeking to glorify God and they were not seeking to glorify Christ. And this description is one that can be applied to all people who are living in a way not seeking to glorify Christ. Alienated from God, enemies. If you don't have faith in Christ, you're an enemy of God. But look at what Jesus did, verse 22. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. When the Colossians placed their faith in Jesus, their position changed. So to us, when we place our faith in Jesus, instead of being alienated from God, we're reconciled to him. It's like if you have an argument with a friend, you stop talking to each other, but then after a little bit of time, you sort it out and you reconcile. That's what happens with us and God when we place our faith in Jesus. Instead of being enemies, Jesus makes us holy in God's sight, without blemish, free from accusation. That's what Jesus does for us. He cleans us. And what cleans us is not us trying to live a good life, but Jesus cleans us. What makes us free from accusation is not that we are perfect, but that Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, died for us. And because of who Jesus is, and because of what Jesus has done, there is now hope. Verse 23, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. If you have faith in Jesus, you now have hope, a lasting hope, a hope that will not disappoint, a hope dependent solely on Jesus. And like a house built to withstand a cyclone, we are to be Christians who continue established and firm, holding on to Jesus. And so Paul writes to the Colossians, if you continue in your faith, and he fully expects that they will. And so hold on to Jesus. Keep your faith in Jesus. Do not let the delights of this world take you away from Christ. Don't give up on when things get tough, but keep your faith in the one who reconciles you to God. There's a false teaching that I've heard in Kununurra that says, once saved, always saved, even if we give up on Christ. But God in his word does not agree with this. Paul here says, if you continue in your faith, if you do not continue trusting Jesus, you cannot expect Jesus to stand for you on that final last day. Keep trusting Jesus. And this is why we proclaim Christ. Only in Christ are we reconciled to God. Only in Christ do we have our sins forgiven. Only in Christ are we made holy and blameless. Only in Christ is there eternal hope. Without Christ, we're separated from God, his enemies. That is why we need to proclaim Christ. Christ is our eternal hope. So we are to proclaim him. How are we to proclaim Christ? Well, we read the answer in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. The word admonish here means to warn and instruct from a particular behaviour. Now, road signs admonish us. I don't know if you've gone out to any of the waterfalls and you've gone on Valentine's Spring Road and you've seen the big flashing lights that look just completely out of place saying, warning! Actually, I can't remember the exact wording, but it's to the effect of this road floods quickly, you drive it at your own risk, which is wise advice. But it's an admonishment. It's a warning to us. See, admonishing is not necessarily a bad thing. It can be a good thing. And as we proclaim Christ, we admonish each other. and we admonish our world. We admonish each other by warning each other in church to stay the course, to keep trusting Jesus, keep your faith in him, keep living for him. And we're warning the world that as we proclaim Christ, that they are currently separated from, alienated. But as well as being admonished, we're also being taught. We need to be taught the things of Christ. We need to be taught how Jesus is the creator. We need to know about Christ's righteousness and his perfect life and how he died on the cross so that we can be justified and have our sins forgiven and have his perfect righteousness. We need to be taught about the eternal realities of heaven and hell. We need to be taught about godliness and what it looks like to live a godly life, to put sin to death and to put on godliness. We need to be taught that we need to be people who are devoted to prayer. And all this happens as Christ is proclaimed. And this means we need to keep putting ourselves in places where we will keep hearing Christ proclaimed. Because if we put ourselves somewhere where Christ is not proclaimed, we run the risk that we will grow cold to Jesus. Maybe you've heard the illustration, the fire coals. You've got a fire and you've got the fire coals. The hottest part of the fire is in the middle with the coals. And if you take one of the coals out of the fire, what happens? The coal cools off pretty quickly. If we are to be our hottest for Jesus, and forgive the analogy, if we are to be smoking hot for Jesus, we need to keep hearing Jesus proclaimed. We need to keep being admonished and taught. And if we go cold, if we place our faith in something other than Jesus, we're in trouble. But it's also what our world needs too, isn't it? Our world needs to be admonished and taught. It's why we proclaim the gospel and share the gospel. Our world is in the fast lane going down the wide gate of destruction. Our world is alienated from God, enemies of God, and most people in our world don't even know it. And so we need to proclaim Christ so that they know it, so that they are admonished. And while it takes the work of the Holy Spirit for someone to place their faith in Jesus, the way that God brings that about is through Christ being proclaimed. And here is the how. How are we to admonish and teach? With all wisdom. This is not a worldly wisdom that seeks to manipulate people or trick people, but a godly wisdom, a wisdom that proclaims with humility and gentleness, wisdom that will proclaim with clarity and boldness, wisdom that will proclaim even in spite of resistance, wisdom that knows that when Christ is proclaimed, God's word will not return void, wisdom that knows that God's timing is perfect, especially when we don't see any fruit. And so we need to proclaim with wisdom. And so we need to ask God for wisdom. Now, I want us to notice particularly what this verse doesn't say. This verse doesn't say that we proclaim Christ by living a godly life. Now, while it is true, a godly life can cause someone to ask the question, why are you living differently? Jesus says that, you know, when we live righteously, that can bring glory to God. And a godly life is a necessary complement and example of gospel proclamation. Just living a godly life isn't actually a proclamation. Francis of Assisi, he's attributed with the saying, preach the gospel, if necessary, use words. But actually, that is wrong. You cannot proclaim the gospel without words, because the gospel is the message of Jesus Christ. Someone may see a godly life, but unless they are taught of Christ, they won't know why or for what purpose you're living that godly life for. They won't know the gospel. And so we are to proclaim Christ with wisdom. And the goal of proclaiming Christ to present everyone fully mature in Christ. It's a lofty goal. It's a BHAG. If you're unfamiliar with a BHAG, it stands for Big, Hairy, Audacious Goal. It's a goal that it lifts your eyes and your mind to something big, something aspirational, something that is worth putting your time and energy and effort into. Well, Paul's got a BHAG for Christ. Paul wants to see everyone, everyone fully mature in Christ. Paul wants to see everyone give glory to Jesus, everyone to be spiritually mature, everyone to have their faith in Jesus and growing in their faith in him so that on the final day he can present them to Christ. And Paul wants to present to Jesus, he doesn't want to just like a garden full of newly planted seeds. He wants to present to Jesus a garden with trees that are flourishing and fully planted. Paul's BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal, is a worthy one. And that is the goal of proclaiming Christ, full maturity in Christ. Now, maturity implies growth, development. A child, hopefully, matures and becomes an adult. A cheese matures to become tasty. We can mature in our understanding, in our relationships, or in our ability to do things or handle certain situations. And Christians mature. We grow. And the goal is to be like Jesus, to be fully like him. That's the goal of proclaiming Jesus, is that everyone becomes like Jesus, our Creator, for whom we were created to give glory. Now, I want you to notice that this verse says fully mature in Christ. When we place our faith in Jesus, we become someone who is in Christ. That means that our spiritual reality is that we are now holy and blameless before God. We are now forgiven of our sin before God. We are now right with God. But our physical reality, the reality that we live in the here and now, is just playing catch up. We're still sinful now. We're not fully like Christ now. We're not fully mature. But God is at work in us. And the way that we mature, the way we become like Christ, is by hearing about Jesus, hearing about the realities of his kingdom. And as the Spirit takes those truths and applies them to us, we grow, we mature. You might like to think about it like a mango that you picked off the tree that is not quite ripe. You just leave it there for a few weeks before it, and then it becomes ripe. Well, that's the Christian life. Green mango to yummy mango. And so Paul's big, hairy, audacious goal is maturity in Christ. Is that your goal? Is that our goal as a church? And if our goal, like Paul's, is maturity in Christ, what is that going to look like for us this year? What will that look like for you? What measures should you use? What markers? What will be the pencil markings on the wall for growth as a Christian this year for you? If we're going to grow, we do need to be intentional about this. Now, remember that plant in my office that thrived and grew? Well, there was definitely a turning point, and I should have clued onto something, where it started to wither and die to the point where this week it got thrown out. We can't afford to be that plant with Jesus. So what markers, what things, intentional things can we do this year to seek to grow, to be fully mature in Christ? Well, at a church level, we want to make sure that we keep proclaiming Christ. Proclaiming Christ in the East Kimberley is our mission. We want to keep doing that. We want to proclaim Christ in our church services each week. We want to proclaim Christ in our songs, in our prayers. We actually want to be people who proclaim Christ to each other. who speak of Jesus to each other and encourage one another and spur one another on, build each other up. But what about in an individual level? And I'm just picking a few random things here. Like there's lists and lists of things in the Bible that we could apply this to, but the one that I've gone with three, but and the first one is, what is your attitude to church? Here are some markers of growth in the church. And I'm going to ask you to think about which box you might fit into. Now, it's not perfect, but the exercise is helpful nonetheless. If you're not in Christ, what is your attitude to church? Well, either you don't care about church, or maybe you're curious about church, and maybe you're here today and that's why you're here. You're curious. Or you've become a Christian and so you're a new Christian and you're still exploring church. You're learning about church, learning to participate in singing, trying to understand what's going on as we pray, paying attention and learning during sermons. Starting to think about serving. And then maybe the growing Christian enjoys church, comes most of the time, loves, likes the church family, and serves when convenient. And then the mature Christian can't wait to meet with God's people. There every week, serves with joy sacrificially. Now, I asked you to think about which box you might fit in. And as I said, the boxes are not perfect. Maybe you're thinking, I don't fit into any of those. But I want to ask you the question, what would it look like for you to move one box to the right? What would it look like for your attitude about church to move one box to the right this year? Now, here's the key. To move to the next box, we need the proclamation of Jesus. We need the truth of Jesus to sink into our hearts and our minds so that our desire in everything is to glorify him. And in terms of church, we need to know Jesus. We need to know that what he has done. We need to know that he is the head of the church, that he died for the church, that we are his body, that the church is the temple of the living God, that through the church, God is revealing his glorious mysteries to the world, which we learn as Jesus is proclaimed. Let's choose another one. What does it look like for us to be fully mature in Christ when it comes to prayer? Well, as a church, we want to prioritize prayer. We want to organize prayer meetings. We want to have sermons and think about our application of how we pray. But what about at an individual level? And here are some markers that they're already up on the screen. Maybe if you're not in Christ, you don't pray, except for when there's a desperate situation. Or if you're a new Christian, you're learning to pray. Maybe you pray a lot about yourself for brief periods, maybe once or twice or 3 to 4 times a week. Or maybe you're a growing Christian and you've got a devoted prayer time each day and you come along to church prayer meetings. Or you fit in that box of mature Christian where you just cannot imagine life without praying and depending upon your Heavenly Father. And prayer is just part of your everyday life. Which box are you in? Once again, what does it look like for you to move from the box that you're in to the box on the right? And once again, the key to moving boxes is that we need Jesus. We need to hear what Jesus has to say on prayer. We need to know. And not just know, but believe that when we pray to our Heavenly Father, who loves us, that we are his children, that God wants us to be people of prayer. We're called in Colossians chapter 4 to be people who are devoted to prayer. We need to know these things. We need to let the truth of Jesus go from our head to our heart. One last one. What does it look like for us to grow to be fully mature in Christ as we share the gospel? Now, as a church, there's some questions we can ask. Are we equipping the saints, you guys, to share the gospel? Are we using our church resources to proclaim Christ in the community? Is it on the agenda in our church services, in our planning? Do parish council talk about it? And actually, you'll be encouraged to know, we have a number of things planned this year in this sharing the gospel space, like we're forming an evangelism committee. We're going to have an outdoor service in May. And we also have a plan later this term to, in church, give us all an opportunity to learn a gospel outline. But what about you individually? What does it look like as an individual level? Well, if you're not in Christ, you've probably got no interest in sharing the gospel. If you're a new Christian, and I find new Christians are actually the most joyful in wanting to share the gospel, which is very exciting, and they're keen and learning how to do so. The growing Christian knows a gospel outline, they can share when asked, has learned some answers to tricky questions, is thinking about opportunities. Maybe they're praying for someone that they can share the gospel with. And the mature Christian is praying that many people would turn to Christ, prays for opportunities and is bold in taking them. Which box do you place yourself in? And what would it look like for you to move one box to the right? Once again, we need to make sure that we are taught the gospel. We need to be taught like we were today in Colossians, that we're aliens and enemies of God, but through Christ we can be reconciled. We need to hear the realities of heaven and hell. We need to be so overcome by God's love for the lost, that same love that he has for us. So we want to share the gospel. And so what would it look like for us to have Paul's BHAG, big hairy goal of presenting everyone mature in Christ? What is that going to look like for you? What would that look like for your family? What would that look like for our church? Let me put it a slightly different way. What in your life would need to look different if your goal was maturity in Christ? How are you going to move to the right? How are you, like Paul, going to be smoking hot for Jesus? A thriving tree, fully mature in him. Well, one of the things that we need to do is we need to be intentional about putting ourselves in places where we will hear Jesus proclaimed faithfully. Maybe it's as simple as saying, well, I'm going to make an effort to come to church every week instead of every second week or every third week. It might be as simple as, well, I'm going to carve out more time this week and next week to spend time in prayer. It might mean joining a growth group, meeting midweek with other saints, hearing God's word, encouraging one another. It might mean starting that family devotion. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Him we proclaim, teaching and admonishing everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. And that's what we long to see, isn't it? We want to see us fully mature in Christ. We want to see the people of Kununurra fully mature in Christ. We want to see the people of the East Kimberley fully mature in Christ. And so we will keep proclaiming Christ in the East Kimberley.